so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
There's the man himself. Interesting times. Interesting times. Arnold Schwarzenegger talked about his book, JFK's book, Profiles in Courage, and said that, you know, Donald Trump basically alluded to the fact Donald Trump and folks like him wouldn't find their name in a book like that. Well, I'm not sure Arnold would either. There are a lot of sycophants to power. There are few people who are willing to stand courageously in opposition to tyranny. We have the looming encroachment of tyranny right now in America. That is sort of what we're dealing with. And there is this effort to keep us distracted and pinned down while big sweeping changes are made. Maybe we should play an excerpt from yesterday's National Intel Report, the first hour, that first segment. That might not be a bad thing. We'll see. Let me see. What else? Quickly. Honestly, you know, I keep mentioning the Justice Democrats. I don't understand. It's an ideological deal. There are a lot of sycophants. Where are the Americans? You know? I thought it was strange. You know, the guy... Where is that? Speaking of WUSA 9, they have their little, here's who's been federally charged in the U.S. Capitol riots. And by the way, I mean, I talked early on how what they said initially 47, you know, there were 52 arrests. Everybody says, oh, my goodness. No, 47 of those were for curfew violations. Now what, there are 16 or... 17, 18, something like that, folks who have been arrested now. Richard Barnett was the guy who had his feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk, I think. And so, I mean, just the psyop of all of this, you know, if you're going to conduct an operation, you're going to try to seize whatever, you're not going to be the guy putting your feet up. And so are you going to run an operation around LARPers? I don't think so. So, you know, again, the whole QAnon thing is just, you know, it's a psyop. Can we just call it what it is? Just wait, just wait. Just continue to do nothing. Continue to sit paralyzed and do nothing. I apologize if that offends some people. Maybe it does. Maybe it, I don't know, whatever. Army investigates PSYOPs officer Captain Emily Rainey for role in Washington. I think she's being scapegoated. She's kind of a convenient tool to create confusion and misdirection, and that got people all excited. You know, the real problem is the folks like the Kofor Blacks who have retreated into the shadows and said, you know, the gloves are coming off. If you need a network of LARPing, you know, if you need a LARPing counter gang, give me a call. Here's my card. Let's see. Who can play this, though? Speaking of Adam Curtis and the explainer, this stuff works. Shapeshifting. Adam Curtis's hypernormalization. You can't watch the theater, you can't watch the shadows on the wall of Plato's cave and make sense of what's going on. And one of the most frustrating experiences I have, you probably share it, is trying to have conversations with people, and you're trying to talk about what's actually going on, not just the theater. Sure, there's theater, but, you know, why? And most people don't have any idea. Well, that's what Plato talked about, right? Most people don't realize that the shadows dancing on the wall are not real in the sense that, you know, they impact or influence life at all. But, you know, the reaction to the shadows and things, well, that's a different story. You know, when you allow the cartoons to influence your life, then I suppose they become real, and, you know, then you get into McLuhan, Medium is the Message, you know, Neil Postman, Jacques Ellul, those kinds of things. Anyway, from Adam Curtis's Hypernormalization, here's a little excerpt that I think explains pretty well what we're experiencing. Go ahead, please.
But in Russia, there was a group of men who had seen how this very lack of belief in politics and dark uncertainty about the future could work to their advantage. What they had done was turn politics into a strange theater where nobody knew what was true or what was fake any longer. They were called political technologists, and they were the key figures behind President Putin. They had kept him in power, unchallenged, for 15 years. Some of them had been dissidents back in the 1970s, and had been powerfully influenced by the science fiction writings of the Strugatsky brothers. 20 years later, when Russia fell apart after the end of communism, they rose up and took control of the media. And they used it to manipulate the electorate on a vast scale. For them, reality was just something that could be manipulated and shaped into anything you wanted it to be.
So there you go. You can let that play.
His ideas would become central to Putin's grip on power. He was called Vladislav Surkov. Surkov came originally from the theater world, and those who have studied his career say that what he did was take avant-garde ideas from the theater and bring them into the heart of politics. Surkov's aim was not just to manipulate people, but to go deeper and play with and undermine their very perception of the world, so they are never sure what is really happening. Surkov turned Russian politics into a bewildering, constantly changing piece of theater. He used Kremlin money to sponsor all kinds of groups, from mass anti-fascist youth organizations to the very opposite, neo-Nazi skinheads. And liberal human rights groups who then attacked the government. Surkov even backed whole political parties that were opposed to President Putin. But the key thing was that Surkov then let it be known that this was what he was doing, which meant that no one was sure what was real or what was fake in modern Russia. As one journalist put it, it's a strategy of power that keeps any opposition constantly confused. A ceaseless shape-shifting that is unstoppable because it is indefinable. Meanwhile, real power was elsewhere, hidden away behind the stage, exercised without anyone seeing it. And then, the same thing seemed to start happening in the West. By now, it was becoming ever more clear that the system had deep flaws. Every month, there were new revelations of most of the bank's involvement in global corruption, of massive tax avoidance by all the major corporations, of the secret surveillance of everyone's emails by the National Security Agency. Yet no one was prosecuted, except for a few people at the lowest levels. And behind it all, the massive inequality kept on growing. Yet the structure of power remained the same. Nothing ever changed, because nothing could be allowed to destabilize the system. But then, the shape-shifting began.
Thank you very much. So nice. So amazing. So amazing. What? That's okay. I love you more, okay?
So there you go. There you go. Speaking of this concept, maybe just to sort of round out the discussion on it, avant-garde, you know, we've played the clip, Andrew Breitbart talking about Dada. That's Dada. I remember that from college. And I wrote about this a while back on the Road Warrior Radio website back in December of 2019. Actually, I did a piece. And you know, drawing heavily. Well, actually, no, that was the broadcast, excuse me, that I did on December 12, 2019, where I talked about this. So it's interesting, you know, that we're just continuing to see this emerge and sort of crystallize as the de facto way to both keep people bewildered, dazed, and confused, and also to, you know, it's a nihilist, it's Albert Pike's, you know, letter to Mazzini: we shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, provoke a formidable social cataclysm. The way to keep people bewildered, confused, distracted, unsure, uncertain, all of that. But it's also a way to remake culture, you know, to sort of, it's the cultural Marxist weapon of raising and raising, you know, R-A-Z-R-A-I-S-E. And so from the Wikipedia entry even of for avant-garde, avant-garde from French, advance guard or vanguard, literally foreguard, are people or works that are experimental, radical, or unorthodox with respect to art, culture, or society. It is frequently characterized by aesthetic innovation and initial unacceptability. Right, but you just keep pushing that and pushing it, pushing it, pushing it, forcing it down people's throats. But, you know, so just continuing, listen to this. The avant-garde pushes the boundaries of what is accepted as the norm or the status quo, primarily in the cultural realm. The avant-garde is considered by some to be a hallmark of modernism or postmodernism, as distinct from postmodernism. Many artists have aligned themselves with the avant-garde movement and still continue to do so, and it's usually awful. Most of it is awful and confusing, and anyway, tracing their history from Dada through the Situationists and to the to postmodern artists such as the Language Poets around 1981. But this paragraph says it all. The avant-garde also promotes radical social reforms. This is Wikipedia. The avant-garde also promotes radical social reforms. It was this meaning that was evoked by the Saint Simonian, remember Henry de Saint Simon? And what is Saint Simonianism? It was this meaning that was evoked by the Saint Simonian Olin Rodriguez in his essay, L'Artiste, Le Savant et Industriel, The Artist, the Scientist, and the Industrialist, in 1825, which contains the first recorded use of avant-garde. So it was the technocrats, the scientific socialists, who invented the term avant-garde. In its now customary sense. There Rodriguez calls on artists to, quote, serve as the people's avant-garde, insisting that the power of the arts is indeed the most immediate and fastest way to social, political, and economic reform. There you go. This is how you know, for the social change agents, this is basically how you wage war without dropping bombs. This is how you wage war without people realizing they're at war. This is the cultural hegemony, cultural assimilation effort at work. Right before our very eyes, this is happening. Television, movies, music, they're all very effective weapons to do this. And we are at war. And those are implements of war. They're not exclusively implements of war any more than gunpowder is. But they're being used very effectively in that, you know, the war that we are in the middle of. And it's difficult, I think, in America, because being the great American experiment, being the melting pot of the world, what is uniquely American? You know, we don't have the craftsmen of the old world as our lineage, our heritage. We don't have, you know, the thinkers, the philosophers, and so forth. What is uniquely American? I only ask because I think it's something that, you know, most places around the world, the old country, so to speak, there are certain things, certain proclivities, or certain professions, or certain disciplines. You know, whether it's the arts and sculpture, and or music, or philosophy, or whatever. Historically, certain people groups are maybe predisposed to certain things in certain areas. What is uniquely American? And I think because of that, Americans are often seeking and searching. At least people who are a degree or two removed from their immigrant parents. We'll be right back.
With a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. So the Capitol was breached. Never mind if it was truly a spontaneous, organic event, or if it was, you know, the LARPing counter gang. Never mind that. It was a false flag strategy of tension, LARPing counter gang. The Capitol is breached. The question now before us is, what must be done? What is to be done, comrades? What is to be done? Burning questions of our movement. So, you know, the argument that's being made is, well, we, you know, of course, it's always ratcheting up of the surveillance state, the national security apparatus, et cetera, et cetera. Clearly, we have to lock everything down. We have to spy on everyone. No one can be left to themselves. And when these phony arguments are made, the people making them don't realize that I guess they need to go back and revisit history. Pawns in the game, as William Guy Carr might say. You become a pawn in the game. History tells you that, you know, if you're one of those people, especially if you're the front line of doing this and you are one of the people that know where the bodies are buried, you can expect to be a victim of the next great purge. Because, you know, you're a liability. You become a liability at a certain point. There's a point of diminishing return. You've already helped catapult this, this thing into orbit. And now, you know, being the booster rocket, you're no longer useful. I don't understand how we can be so ignorant when we live in the age of Alexandria, so to speak. You know, we all have the Library of Alexandria at our fingertips. And it's free for all intents and purposes. And I guess that's part of why it's not valued, not seen as valuable. James Corbett has some interesting stuff up. It looks like he did some, you know, speaking of Alexandria, he did the stuff that he did last September. Episode 384, The Library of Alexandria is on fire. And so for anyone interested, that is probably worth checking out. But I'm astonished, truly astonished. So this new thing, Freedom Cells and the Greater Reset, which is the same thing that Harley Schlanger said, that was the title of one of his videos. And again, you know, maybe we'll play that in the at the bottom of the hour in a second, that the excerpt from the beginning of yesterday's National Intel Report, Hour 1. It was good stuff. And his description of things, it's terrifying, but it's the reality. What are you supposed to do? Are we supposed to pretend that the mind virus of positivism is going to save us? Should we pretend that? Will it help anything? Or should we stop playing silly games and being, you know, victimized by Clark's third law over and over, or the stupid parlor trick? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Come watch this. How dumb do you have to be to keep falling for the same stupid parlor trick over and over again? We are at a pivotal moment. If we just understand, if we just have a basic understanding of history, even just recent history, just the last 100 years or so, say 120, how about 150? If we have a basic understanding of that history, we should be, this is the perfect moment to look back and say, this happened before, you know, these same things that are happening now are the same things that happened before. What was the result of those things? And we should be able to avert catastrophe and crisis. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a
welcome back.
I don't care.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. I just can't believe what's happening in America. I mean, I can because, again, the lessons of history tell us that. And we were warned repeatedly over and over and over. I won't go through and exhaust the warnings ad nauseum. But this shouldn't be happening. And we don't understand, you know, I don't think that we are sober-minded enough, and we have just been drunk on pleasure. That, again, was not entirely our fault. But we are still accountable. We still have, you know, we still have a moral compass. We still have, you know, that little inner voice that tells us, no, this isn't right. Whether we've been conditioned to believe it is, you know, that right is wrong, or excuse me, that wrong is right, and vice versa, I guess, for that matter. Regardless of the efforts of the, you know, Bernaysian, Freudian contingent that would have us believing that the pleasure principle is, you know, that's the highest aspiration of life, we still have a responsibility, and we still have the lessons of history. Again, like I said before, but, you know, to quote Cinderella, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And John Adams said that liberty once lost is lost forever. He was pretty articulate on that. So, a constitution of government once changed from freedom can never be restored. That's what history tells us. That was a lesson of history that he mentioned particularly in a letter to Abigail, July 7, 1775. So, you know, speaking of James Corbett, he's doing Solutions Watch now. What I mentioned before, Freedom Cells and the Greater Reset, is the first installment of Solutions Watch, interview with John Bush, the host of Live Free Now, the Free Now with John Bush. And they, you know, Bush is an activist who founded the Freedom Cell Network to help like-minded, solutions-oriented freedom lovers meet, organize, and collaborate. Now he's co-organizing the Greater Reset Activation Conference. Well, the problem is most people don't understand. It's kind of like, saying there's a cancer and not understanding the terrain or, you know, the causes or, you know, if you're not familiar with the mechanics, then, or, you know, maybe another example is, your car isn't running right. It doesn't start or it cuts out or whatever. You have to have a certain acuity to make the proper adjustments to fix that problem. And so I don't know if you're applying the discipline of a plumber to fixing, you know, to automotive repairs, maybe there's some crossover somewhere, but not really. They're vastly different disciplines. And that's what's happened in America. We have been, you know, which gets back to the point of mentioning the word them in Article 3, Section 3. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them. Them who? I see the United States. So that's an it. Well, maybe it's not an it. Maybe that's the point. Maybe it's not the United States the way that you've been led to believe, but these United States. What does that mean? It means a lot of things. It means you go back before the turn of the 20th century and, you know, that big change that Norman Dodd told us about, that we weren't supposed to return to life prior to 1914. Bad guys were saying, you know, this is what we're doing. The bankers, the high-powered bankers of, the New York contingent. So, you know, you go back before the Pledge of Allegiance. You figure out who Francis Bellamy was and his Fabian socialist cousin, Edward Bellamy, who he was, what his book was all about, looking backward. Maybe the Bellamy salute was something we never should have adopted in America based on, you know, again, this scientific socialism that brings along with it the rabid hysterics of the psychopathic guard of folks like the so-called Justice, so-called Democrats now. These people are insane. And they have no particular aspirations of their own. They are just puppets. The little figureheads. You know, and for that matter, the Cenk Uygurs, and, you know, I like Ben Mankiewicz over at TCM. But, you know, I have to wonder about Ben and the whole Mankiewicz clan over the years and their, you know, role in Hollywood. When I think of Ben in conjunction with the Young Turks, the young insurrectionists, you know, Cenk Uygur, Kyle Kulinski, Saikat Chakrabarty, Zach Exley, these guys. You can't tell me that what they did back in the, what was it, the 2018 election cycle, that all of that, you know, that they got that kind of leverage out of $1.5 or so million dollars. Anyway, so the point is that they are puppets themselves. It was 2016 election cycle, I think. That's what I'm thinking of. Anyway, point is, what is happening is, I would say, un-American. What does that mean? Well, this is the great American experiment. We all, you know, again, the problem is that we, you know, there is a responsibility. We, you know, if it is truly a government of, by, and for the people, then we have a responsibility. We have an obligation. What would happen? What would happen, I wonder, if instead of starting a group or going to a march or a protest or blah, 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 if we just sat down? I was hoping this would happen last year because we had a lot of free time on our hands all of a sudden. What would happen if we just sat down and shut off the black screen, stop watching the Kabuki theater? But, you know, we have this pornographic addiction to tragedy and all of this. You know, we need to be constantly stimulated now. Remember Dr. What's his name? In the documentary Suitology, Dimitri Christakis and his TED Talk. When he said, you know, all of the stimulation, baby Einstein and, you know, all of this other stuff is rewiring your children's brain. Hardwiring. Maybe the overstimulation is not a good thing. And it also conditions people to believe that, you know, this myth of progress, as Jacques Ellul put it, this myth of continual progress is just normal. So I should expect to be more and more stimulated and to have 20 things around me. I remember, what was it, 2008, NPR did a segment, multitasking. Maybe, you know, studies show maybe not so good. Maybe it actually makes you dumber. But that's okay. Technology will save you. We can put implants in you and you can think faster and do 10 things at once and blah, blah, blah. Maybe all that glitters is not gold. Maybe we don't always have to change for change's sake, or we don't always need progress for progress' sake. Maybe. So what would happen if we just sat down, shut off the black screens, and basically said, I'm not turning that thing back on until I have, you know, I have gone through this thing or that thing front to back? I want to play a little excerpt from yesterday's National Intel Report, the first hour with Harley Schlanger. Let's just go to that. Go ahead, please.
This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this 12th day of January. That's right, folks. We're into the new year. Happy, happy new year. My guest today, I rescheduled him for last Tuesday, and then I realized that prior week I had not made up my mind. He was supposed to be on two Tuesdays ago. And I rescheduled for last Tuesday, and at the time I didn't know I was going to be in the District of Criminals, personally. So I had to reschedule him, but he's here today. Hello, Harley Schlanger, how are you?
Hi, John, how are you?
Well, I don't think I'll ever be asking you to come back to the country from Germany, to the CSA, where we're renaming the country. It's the Communist States of America.
Well, I'm surprised they let you into Washington, D.C.
Oh, well, there wasn't much they could do about it. Me and about 1.5 million of my friends showed up.
Yeah. Well, look, I think we're still in the middle of a fight. And anyone who thinks the fight is over or the fight is done is missing the point that, you know, if you look at the I'm sure we'll talk about a lot of this during the course of the next 55 minutes or so. But if you look at the fact that 74, 75 million people voted for Donald Trump, even the ones who backed away as a result of what happened in Washington, D.C. because of the media coverage, you still have a huge number of people who are committed to the fight that Donald Trump started. And so, you know, the idea that Biden could waltz in and take over everything and push a Green New Deal and a global fascist economic reset and coast along with censorship, that's not going to happen. And so the question is, we have to make sure that everything we do is smart and oriented toward winning this war. And it's not going to be a short war.
Well, and the war we're speaking of for right now, for all intents of descriptive, it's a political war. It's a voting war. And Harley, excuse me for saying this, but weren't we just demonstrated in the 2020 election that there's not going to be another fair election in this country due to rigging the vote?
Well, again, I've seen dictatorships come and go. If you think about it, John, the human spirit is more powerful than a tyrant's will. And
Harley, jeez, you must have had a good time off on Christmas and New Year's. You're more than I get the feeling here that you're up full of all kind of hope, and I'm not here to burst your balloons, but I'm on the ground here. I've been watching this stuff in this country since, well, Hector was a pup. And the way this is looking right now, politically, yeah, we can try to vote them out if they didn't fix the vote. And here's the ironic thing about this whole thing. I'd mentioned this before, and I never heard anybody else commented or... we're wishing to go back to the administrative state rather than the communist socialist state. So we're right back where we were, I forget how many years ago, when we were discussing such issues of, how can we fix, not the vote, but fix the voting machines. Yeah, what about that term limit thing in Washington, D.C.? We were well on our way of educating people about the unconstitutional Federal Reserve. We were going after the courts and the prosecutors, how they've tied up, the legal process. It isn't up just to a prosecutor to prefer charges. If a citizen sees corruption, you can convene a grand jury, present that evidence to the judge, and off we go. We have been insulated and isolated from everything. We have no control of anything except the good wish pot. I'm sorry, I had to get that out, Harley.
All right, well, let me give you a counter to that.
Okay.
As I said, 75 million people voted for Donald Trump. We have no idea how many people actually voted for Joe Biden, but it was significantly less than that. Now, the second point is that the policies that they're going to implement will not work, will make the situation worse for not only every American, but every other country in the world. So the question of a smooth sailing into fascism under Joe Biden is a fallacy. And the question is, when you ask about the elections, I'll tell you what I think is the best tactic that the president could use at this point. And I don't think it's the Insurrection Act or something of that sort. I think he should immediately announce a special prosecutor. And have a special prosecutor with subpoena power, because we never had an investigation. There were 1,000 or so affidavits that were never heard in a courtroom. A witness was never interrogated. A machine was never grabbed and seized and investigated, because the courts are corrupt. And, a lot of people thought, well, what about all the people Trump appointed? Well, there is such a thing as blackmail. There is such a thing as cowardice, and a lot of people in the judiciary submitted, gave in. So we never had a hearing. But Trump has a power to appoint a special counsel, and then people say, well, You know, but then if Biden comes in, what difference will it make? Well, a special counsel has certain powers. And if, remember the question of obstruction that was thrown at Trump, there's still 50 Republican senators. Now, how many of them have any gumption or guts remains to be seen.
I think we got an indication of that on January 6th, the evening of January 6th, going into January 7th. Yeah.
We sure did, John. But here's the other point. If there were 1 million people in Washington, what happens if you had 10 million people come in? You know, I don't think we've seen the end of the fight in the American people. I don't see the American people submitting to a fascist Biden regime.
Okay.
And I
understand and appreciate that, Harley. And I'm all for that. And I'm all ears on what tact can be taken. You know, we did start a third party. What was that guy's name? Ronald Paul? Oh, that's right. Ron Paul, the Tea Party. And then it was quickly disassembled because the Gambinos and the Genoveses in Washington, D.C., don't like competition in their fight over phony power in this country.
Well, but now, John, here's the other point I want you to think about.
Okay.
And we should discuss what this whole Great Reset is, because there's a lot of talk about it, but very few people know what they're planning. This is Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, the Davos billionaires, the International Monetary Fund, London, Wall Street. Mm-hmm. Their strategy is to give all the power to the central banks. You think the Fed has a lot of power now. It's going to have more power because the plan of the Great Reset, and Biden supports this, Janet Yellen supports it, the top three people appointed to the Treasury support it. What they're saying is that the power of the Fed should not just be monetary and credit policy, but control over spending policy by appointing technocrats to decide where money should be spent and how.
Let me understand this then. Okay, I'm picturing a bank. I walk into this bank. The teller behind that counter is actually going to decide how much money I take out and then where I'm going to spend it. Is that about right?
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
Essentially, but
all right.
But the first point is they're going to determine what governments can spend. And what they're going to do this, what they're doing, and they've already done it, is to get the major banks that operate on, that the central banks operate on behalf of, that is the money center banks, who really dictate the policy to the Fed, because the Fed is a private agency. It's not a government agency. What they're saying is that they need unlimited amounts of liquidity to bail out the zombie corporations that they've built up with unsustainable levels of debt. How are they going to do that? They're going to shut down the physical economy. There's going to be no credit for mom and pop stores, for industries, for anything of that sort. And the way they're going to do it is the Green New Deal. The banks are signing what's called a compact, which says that no bank will loan money to a corporation that doesn't have a zero carbon footprint. Now, what's a zero carbon footprint? It means you don't manufacture anything.
That's right.
You don't produce anything.
Right.
They're going to shut down the energy industry.
Right.
Texas is going to be turned into a completely bankrupt former oil country. You know, they're going to shut down coal. They're going to shut down nuclear. It's going to be a return to an era when there couldn't be air conditioning, when people, if they wanted to stay warm in the winter, they had to burn.
Okay, I was for a second there, I was getting my hopes up. Now they're dashed. Now I'm depressed again. What you're describing to me is not happy days.
I would encourage you to go listen to yesterday's National Intel Report if you haven't heard, but that was an excerpt, of course, from yesterday's National Intel Report. John's first hour guest was Harley Schlanger. And, you know, that summarizes kind of what we're looking at. And again, the primary means by which this is being affected, and just a point of clarification, it's actually the full realization of the administrative state that was always envisioned by these bad guys. And, you know, so again, circling back around full circle back to the avant-garde discussion, you know, we talked about this, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I think, the denazification process of World War II, was actually, you know, the way that we'll denazify the world is by the Nazification of the world. And so it's no coincidence that the folks that were in charge of that, the Cultural Marxist Frankfurt School, that were supposed to do that around the world, have now basically Nazified the world. There's no, it's no coincidence, as Adam Curtis pointed out, the same forces of the avant-garde cultural Marxist influence have been at work in Russia as well as here. And so I would encourage folks, you know, I you know, again, it's important to be intimately familiar with the authentic first. That would be my first advice. Beyond that, maybe go read the Wikipedia entry for avant-garde. I think you'll find it very interesting. Look at the section titled Relation to Mainstream Society, for example, and the Cultural Marxist Frankfurt School Influence, Adorno, Horkheimer, Culture, Industry, Enlightenment, and Mass Deception. You know, Walter Benjamin, Guy Debord, you know, these folks, I don't know, maybe you'll find it interesting, maybe not, but this is what's happening in America and, of course, other places. And the medium is the message, as Marshall McLuhan said, the technologies conspire against us. Elul told us that the technologies are like a trap that you can't get out of. You can't find your way back to normalcy going forward into this illusion of progress. So, anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.